Today, as we continue the series we're going through in Acts, you know, life in the Spirit, we're going to begin chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18, and we'll get there in just a couple moments, so you may want to start getting there if you can. This morning, I'd like us to talk about overcoming barriers to the good news. See, there are many Christians that believe that they're supposed to somehow go out and share the good news about Jesus with other people who do not yet know him. However, most of us realize that it doesn't really come that easy. You know, sometimes talking to people about God seems to be one of the most difficult tasks that we are given. Now, in our scripture, and we'll get there in just a little bit, in verse 1, it tells us that Paul and Barnabas, they go out and a great number of people are coming to the Lord. The closest I can get in my mind is when I think of a Billy Graham crusade. And whenever he would give the invitation, people would just flock down there. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't you want to be able to speak so effectively about Jesus that people would just respond, a number of people would just come and give their heart to God? But most of us have never been there. We've never done that. In fact, most of us have been faced with some kind of traumatic obstacle that has been put in our way as we're somehow trying to share our faith. We sometimes face difficult attitudes, apathy, anger, disgust, disinterest, even outright rejection from people. We may have faced arguments. There's ignorance, frustration, confusion, and even deception that is out there that hinders us. So how in the world can we share our faith in a meaningful way with all those barriers that are in the way that need to be overcome? Well, I certainly don't have all the answers, and I'm not going to be able to give you all the answers today. Believe it or not, I struggle with it even myself. But I believe that God's word speaks to us about that very issue. With God's help, we can learn to naturally and more effectively share his love with others. But where do we begin? How can we learn to do this? Well, there are four important tools that have been given to each one of us that we can find in our scripture this morning that will help us overcome some of those barriers to the good news. And the very first one is the power of spoken word. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. It says, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. One of the most important tools that God has given to us to help us do what it is that he wants us to do is words, spoken words. Sung words, if you want. Now, you and I, we both know that words alone are only worth so much. Politicians, they seem to use a lot of words. Lawyers are out there, and they use a lot of words, and sometimes all of those words coming out just seem to get lost in the wind. So when we talk about the power of the spoken word, we know that words alone do not have the power to change lives for all of eternity. The Apostle Paul, he told the church in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know that the way we lived among you was further proof of the truth of our message. So words alone are not enough to convey the message of the good news. When we share the good news, the word, about Jesus, we must also be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is how it worked for the early church as we're reading in the book of Acts, and it is how it still works even today. Furthermore, we see from this verse that the way we live is also a part of the message. If we tell people about God's love, do they see it in our lives? If we tell people about forgiveness, do they see us giving and receiving forgiveness? The power of spoken word. It can dispel any ignorance that there might be about who God is and how much he loves each and every one of us. The spoken word carried by the power of the Holy Spirit and backed up by a life of obedience to God, it can effectively change this world one person at a time. Now, we often emphasize how important it is for our walk to match our talk. We talk about being witnesses to people by the way that we live our lives, and I agree with that. But I do have a problem because sometimes we will go and say, we're going to let our life do all the witnessing. That way, we don't really plan on going out and having to share, having to speak with somebody. That's called binary thinking. Binary thinking only allows for one possibility. Either we are going to talk about Jesus or we are going to live about Jesus. Either we're sharing the gospel with words or we're sharing it with our life. But Jesus said that we're supposed to do both. Let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and see your Father and know how much he loves them. But we're also supposed to go and to teach and to preach and to talk about Jesus and all it is that he has taught. Look at it this way. Truth. Truth can be explained and truth can be illustrated. So every chance that you get and you're out there and trying to explain the truth, to say the truth about Jesus, make sure that you're illustrating that truth as well in your life. See, the Word of God, it's essential to overcome barriers of ignorance to who he is. Many people simply do not know about the goodness of God. They do not know that he doesn't mean them any harm. He means them good. He wants to do the best for them. He wants each and every one of us to live in a close and intimate relationship with him. Learning to love just the way that he does. To live according to his plan for us. And we can let people know that God loves them. And that he wants to help them by the power of spoken words and through a lifestyle of living out that word. But let's look at another tool that can help us to share the gospel. And that is the power of presence. Verse 2 and the first part of verse 3 says, "But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord." And as I was reading through this verse, I wondered, what if these Jews had not come along and started to stir up this trouble? Would Paul and Barnabas have spent as much time there in Iconium? Or would they have simply gone in and done like a quick revival and then taken off for the next city? Well, we don't really know the answer, but verse 3 seems to indicate that there was more time that was needed because of the opposition. And as a result of this negative influence that the Jews had there on the Gentiles, Paul and Barnabas spent a considerable amount of time speaking boldly for the Lord. Never underestimate the power of presence. Just being there for somebody does more than your words could ever do. However, let's avoid that binary thinking and realize that when we combine being there for someone and talking boldly about Jesus and who Jesus is, how awesome he is, then we have a powerful combination. So how important is it to spend a considerable amount of time with those that you are trying to reach? Let's just say that it could make a difference for all of eternity. There was a young man, and he was working in an inner city program trying to keep kids in school and keep them away from the gangs and the gang lifestyle. He did everything that he could possibly think of to show these kids what a dead-end street that gang lifestyle was. And over the years, he saw kid after kid drop out of school and join the gangs. One day he finally got the chance to meet one of the highest gang members. He had a few minutes with him, and so he asked him a question. He said, "What is your secret? How are you able to get these kids, some of who have great potential, they could even get scholarships and go on to college. How are you getting them to join your gangs?" The gang leader answer actually surprised him. The gang leader said, "Hey, I'm there for them. When they need a new pair of shoes, I'm there for them. When they don't have any food and they don't know where to turn, I am there for them. I am the one thing that they can count on in their world. That is why they want to join my gang." Do you get it? Are we doing for people, being there, the ones that we're trying to reach? Are we being someone that they can count on when things are going bad? Are we someone that they can talk to, that they can come to, that they can receive help from? Are we willing to enter into their world, into their turf, or into their life? You see, Paul and Barnabas, they gave the people there in Iconium the present of their presence. They were willing to go and spend a considerable amount of time with them, teaching them, talking about Jesus, living the life. They were willing to get into their world and to make a difference. Just being there for someone, it may be the best way to overcome the deception that the devil is throwing out there. If someone has poisoned their mind against God and against the good news about Jesus, then we may need to spend a considerable amount of time in their world, showing them that God truly does love them just the way that they are. You see, it's only as people know that they are loved and they are accepted for who they are that they're willing to take the steps that are needed for the changes in their lives. So let's be relationship-minded people. Let's be willing to associate with those who see life a little bit differently than we do. Build genuine relationships with people. Give them the unqualified gift of your presence. Be such a friend that even if they never ever make a move of drawing closer to God, you will still be their friend. The power of presence. It can help overcome the barriers of suspicion and mistrust that hinder the good news about Jesus. So Paul and Barnabas, they used the Holy Spirit-empowered words. They spent a considerable amount of time there with those people. But what other tools did God give them to overcome the different barriers that they faced? Well, the third tool that they had was the power of miracles. Verse 3 through verse 10 reads, speaking the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Now, I'm going to use two different settings for this point, because after spending a considerable amount of time there in Iconium, the opponents of the apostles, they decide to try to rock the world. You know, they wanted to stone them to death. So Paul and Barnabas, they're forced to move on to Lystra, where we see a specific example of the miraculous work of God, his power at work. These verses show us that God sometimes uses miracles, you know, supernatural events, things that we have trouble explaining, to emphasize the truth of the message that was being given. In Iconium, Paul and Barnabas, they're facing contradictions to their message. So they spent a considerable amount of time there. They spoke the truth about Jesus with boldness. They worked miracles by the power of God. These miracles helped the people to begin to see that Jesus, he was for real. When was the last time these opposing Jews had ever performed a miracle? You see, with Paul and Barnabas, God showed up. The people began to realize that Jesus really could make a difference in their lives. And I believe that God still works miracles even today. Sometimes he does so to ease our pain or suffering. However, I believe that he does it most when we are out sharing the gospel, and he does it to show people his power, his goodness, that Jesus really can make a difference in their lives. Do you think that God is interested enough in your family or your friends or your neighbors to show them that he is real? Do you think that he cares enough about them to heal them when they are sick or to provide for them when they are hungry? You see, it's only as we obey what we hear God speaking to us, what we hear God telling us in our hearts, and as we begin to move, that we can see God begin to work and we can see God begin to move. Be faithful with God's word. His message of grace through Jesus Christ, his Son. And he will confirm his words through miracles that will show up in people's lives with power, and it will bring God the glory. Now, the miracles in Iconium, it resulted in attempts of murder against Paul and Barnabas. However, the miracle that resulted in Lystra, it was a different kind of test for these men. Were they men of God? Were they men of integrity? Did they really practice what it is they preached, or were they willing to somehow go and exploit the people who mistakenly thought that they were divine beings? Verses 11 through 18 will show us the fourth tool that we have, and that is the power of humility. Verse 11, starting there, it reads like this. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and they rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let nations go their way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provided you with plenty of food, and he fills your heart with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Now, I have to be honest with you. I've never had anyone try to worship me or sacrifice anything to me. I have had people heap praise on me every now and then, and even that kind of feels uncomfortable for me. Pride is a very dangerous thing. It has resulted in the fall of many great men. Pride, it can ruin us if we let it creep into our lives. Think about King Saul for a moment in the Old Testament. When he started out as king, he was humble. He didn't even think of himself worthy of being able to lead the country. And when they were actually looking for him, they couldn't find him. They found him hiding in the luggage. But then pride crept in. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 17 and 18, Samuel says, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission to obey him." And then Saul allowed pride to creep into his life. And pride caused Saul to disobey God and to do things his own way. And as a result of that, he lost out on the opportunity to make a difference in God's kingdom. In our scripture this morning, Barnabas and Paul, they were doing everything that they could to point the glory to God, who alone deserves the glory and the honor. They refused to allow the people to place them on these pedestals. They deflected, at least they attempted to deflect all of the honor and the glory and the worship to God and to God alone. You see, humility, it pleases God. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Jesus actually told the disciples that those who served would be the greatest in the kingdom. You see, we need to let God, let Jesus worry about greatness. We just need to be humble. We need to be obedient. Just do what it is that God is asking you to do. And what is it that he has asked you to do? Experience him. Get to know him. Share the good news of Jesus with other people. Help to develop them. Help them grow. Disciple them. Bring people to Jesus so that he can transform their lives. See, we can overcome the barriers to communicating the good news about Jesus. However, we cannot do it alone. We need the help that God has promised to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit came on them, and they would be his witnesses. We need God's help with a spoken word if we want to see people reached. We need God's help if we hope to see the power of presence just spending time with people. We need God's help to see the power of miracles as God moves and he works in people's lives. And we need God's help to stay humble so that when we do see success, we won't go and think it's all about us, because it is all about him. As we wrap it up this morning, I hope that every Christian, Christ follower, every believer, whether you're here or at your home, that you would be willing to allow God to use you, to share your life with somebody either today or this coming week. Let's ask God to help us build better relationships. Become better friends to people. You see, God cares about what is going on in their lives. And we should too. Are we willing to use the tools that are provided for us, the power that God has given to us, to overcome the barriers to presenting the good news?